Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. This is your favorite nudist, Steve Strusinski. Strewman from the Four Outdoorsmen. Sam is with us. Mark is with us. Brandon. Brandon's the fourth outdoorsman again behind the glass. How's everybody doing tonight?
I was better until you mentioned being a nudist.
You didn't see his video, Brandon?
What was that?
You didn't see the video?
I did not see the video. Oh, no, in the hot tub. I didn't watch it. I saw the thumbnail and scooted right past.
Well, I've gotten 15 phone calls and letters and emails from ladies over the age of 90. So that's how it works. Even my photographer, my wife, hasn't called me, but that's okay. It happens. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Hey, we got a hell of a show tonight. So we got Melissa Bachman from Winchester, the Deadly Passion is going to be on first, and Clint Mueller from he's the resort guy. Got to find out where he's got. Oh, heck, we'll find him. Clint Mueller's going to be on talking about what's happening with resorts in northern Minnesota and how they're going to get a bunch of people up there. And you guys have stories right now. Let's talk about your turkey hunting, guys.
We did, yeah. So
Mark, you must have got a turkey this time, right?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not. But okay. I spent three fantastic days in the woods with Sam here. He introduced me to some land that he has. And, man, I've never seen so many turkeys turkey hunting. I saw deer. We talked back and forth. We made a couple rookie mistakes here and there.
Like what?
But that's part of the game.
Walking down a road and forgetting our face masks. So we go back to the blind to get our face masks, and we turn around, and two toms are walking right back at us.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
If we would have stayed right there, we would have both tagged
up. Right. We fumbled it quite a few times. Like, we sat one spot, and I called and got a call back. So we're like, well, we got to get over here. I didn't realize they would close the ground on us that fast, so I was calling and we were walking, and then we just were facing them.
It was like Laurel and Hardy. We'd move, they went where we were. We'd go back, they'd move where we just were. But then the second day, we had six or seven goblin back at us.
Yeah,
we were surrounded by turkeys. I felt like I was in a TV show.
But you guys, now did you get a chance to see them face to face? All right.
There was one that I thought Mark was going to shoot. It came up on his right. And it was, maybe 70 yards?
Yeah, it was too far for a shot. I really thought it was going to come at us.
But he was full strut.
Yeah. So we have a couple different theories on why it didn't come in front of us. Your cousin, who is a great guy, great to meet him, he believed that they weren't quite territorial yet, correct? So he was thinking that we had a tom decoy. They didn't like the tom decoy, and they bolted. I thought that maybe he spotted me because I bought a new blind. And I did notice behind me there was a tag inside that was, white. I don't know if he could see it or not, but, I was just sitting there wondering to myself, why did this turkey bust us? Why did it not come over? And I'm sitting there looking, and, I'm looking around the blind. I'm like, we are well hidden. I had a face mask on,
And it was weird, too. He didn't really look at the direction of Mark, so we don't know if that – my cousin thought that these birds, the way they were acting, they had so many hens with them, they weren't territorial yet. We had a big tom decoy, and he didn't really run. He just quickly he was in full strut.
Yeah.
And he was walking he would walk 10 more steps, Mark would have shot him.
Yeah.
Now this is a new piece of property that you bought, and it's 40 acres, not too far. East Bethel is someplace out there. Did you have any idea where to go? I mean, it's only 40 acres, but
no, so,
how did you pick a spot?
Well, Mark and I went out, was that Thursday night?
Yep.
Thursday night, and we just kind of we found a bunch of turkey feathers, actually, and I figured they were in these big pines, and so we just set up, and then we didn't hear anything right away, and then
you did not see any roosters, any turkeys roosting, right? You didn't find them in
bed.
Not
on the second day. We did today.
We did.
Unfortunately, so they roosted in these pines, which was three quarters across the land, and we would walk, we'd set up. Just the second day, they came down. There was about 16, 17 birds together. There was six or seven.
Wow. Teams. Yeah.
And they were huge. Mark actually put a picture on the shout out. There's one in full strut and its beard's almost touching the ground.
Wow.
And so today we're super pumped after yesterday. It's oh man, we're all going to tag out. We're 30 yards into the walk and we jump one out of its roost. And I'm like, dang it.
It was right over the top of us in a path.
And Corey, my cousin, who's turkey hunts all the time, he's like, I think we're fine. I think we're fine. We walked another 75 yards, hit another one out. We're like, ugh, son of a gun. But then we got in, we heard some gobbles right away for the first 10 minutes, and it was dead. So we
yeah, it's a little colder than I anticipated.
Yeah. How long is I know I golfed this morning, so I know what you're talking about. How long is your license good?
Well, we had season A, so I think it's good till what, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yep. And then you can go in the end of the season to fill your tag if need be. So with Sam's permission, I might go back
granted
the season.
Granted.
But I'll tell you one thing, this is the first time I really took it seriously, right? Like we've gone for 5-6 years out in western Minnesota.
Right.
And it's the kind of thing where we're fishing and, hey, let's go sit in a field for
a couple hours. Yeah.
And we did see, I almost got one last year. I had a tom gobbling right behind me. He just wouldn't go into the field. So, but this time we were legit. We went out the day before. We scouted.
Put him to bed.
I was there a full day to get a pattern. So that's why I thought I was going to be successful because.
Right.
We sat the first day. This is how it goes, right? And it's so frustrating that we set up the blind and we see turkeys all over this field, right? And all over the path, down the path. So we're like, well, that's easy, right? We'll set up in the field.
Yeah.
So we set up in the field and then they're all exactly where our blind was yesterday.
Literally, right where we were.
And in the field, just not by us, not where they were the day before. So we had kind of a walking pattern. They did not follow that exact pattern. Now, I don't know why, but it was frustrating because I just was like, this is it. Like, we saw so many turkeys, and they were strutting around, and we just couldn't peel one off, and they wouldn't get within shot.
It was fun to hear you when Mark and I held the conversation after the first day when you guys saw all of those. His heart was still beating when he was talking to me. He said, this is so exciting.
Yeah. So I was sitting in blind with my cousin Corey, and like he's calling, and it's like, okay, he goes, we haven't heard a call in like 5 minutes. I'm going to hit a hen call. If I hear a gobble, I'm stopping. He hit this hen call, and not even like a half a second into his call, like this two gobbles, like super loud. And he's like, okay, I'm done. And then all of a sudden I said, there he is. I could see him walking in front of, about to rock in front of Mark's blind, full strut. Yep. And everything, it just like Corey leaned over, we fist pump, he goes, Mark's gonna get it. And all of a sudden that turkey just stopped.
Yep.
I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Was your adrenaline going?
Oh man, of course it was.
Yeah. And that was a beautiful
turkey. Is it. And I was sitting with Brian and I'm like, this is it. I'm like, get ready. I was gonna let him shoot because it came from the right.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're gonna get your first turkey. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was ready and you know, when you get your gun ready, you take the safety off, you're ready to go. It just did not get close enough, I tell you.
It was I
wish you could turkey hunt with a .22 because I would have filled my tag.
Yeah. So Corey, like I said, has hunted a long time for turkeys. He told me yesterday we were walking back to the truck, he's like, that's one of the most fun days I've ever had turkey hunting.
Oh, cool.
Just because it was crazy. Yeah. Like I was like, we are like in a turkey sanctuary right now and we're all going to, like, have our picking.
I'll tell you, it was cool, too.
Why can't you do this, then, in an area like that? That's 40 acres, which is not a massive piece of property.
Yeah.
And you know there's the birds there. Why can't someone who is licensed drive them to you? Walk around and make the circle smaller and get them to come toward you guys.
So my father-in-law actually thought about that. And when we were walking, we jumped another turkey. They're so sneaky. They're like a pheasant. Like they just duck and run. So you'd have to be pretty quick and know exactly where they are because their hearing and vision is so good. They say if they could smell, they'd be pretty much unhuntable. So I don't know if you'd have to know exactly where they're roosting.
You'd have to get in there before if they're getting spooked or driven, I don't think they're going to strut around and, you know, let you shoot them. Because if something's pursuing them,
yeah,
you know, like a deer will keep walking because it'll stay in front of you.
Yeah.
But I don't think a turkey would, you know, stop and strut for a while if he's being pursued by somebody. But
so your license is going to expire. The A session is going to expire. You got two more days, right? Two more days.
But then after that, so there's A, B, C, D, and F. And then if you don't get one, and then A through E or A through D, you can go season E or F again. So we can go at like the third week of May.
And you're limited to where? Any place in the state now? Is that how it's going?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Place in the state.
So what's nice about it, you know, you have a chance. His land is only a half an hour from your house, give or take, right?
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
I'm a little sleepy from getting up so early the last 3 days. But
what time did you have guys get up, and what time did you guys meet there?
So today was 5:30 we got there.
Okay.
Yesterday it was 5:40, and the first day we met out there at 5.
Yeah.
Because we had to set up a blind.
Right.
Or no, so, we didn't set up a blind. We got out there 5 just in case.
Yep.
Well, we were there way too early.
And what was cool for me, too, is I've always gone with people that pretty much know what they're doing. And this is the first
time.
What
are you saying? What the heck?
No, I'm just saying.
Pretty much.
He
what
looked
you mean?
At me.
Just yeah. let me finish. Okay. This is the first time that I've worked a call, really, and had them call back and gobble back. And it was really fun. That's the addicting part.
That's good.
That is pretty good.
That's really good.
So this is the first time that I've actually interacted with them in a field, which is great. Granted, I wasn't good enough to call them in, but they were calling back. So it was a lot of fun, and I've never had so much fun turkey hunting before.
Mark's on that box call doing his thing, and in turkey call, the turkey goes, "What do you want?"
Yeah, yeah, it's so cool when you hit a call and they call back.
That must be cool.
It's like elk hunting. You know, elk hunting is so like desirable because some, you know, a guide or whoever it will hit a little cow call, and then all of a sudden you hear like a 900-pound animal scream,
and it's a mile away,
and you're like, yeah. There is, then like the shivers go up your spine. It's honestly the same with turkey hunting. You hit a little hen call and you hear blah 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 blah. Hey, between you and I, we could go out there and call.
That's pretty good. You guys are pros.
Who's that guy we have all the time from Michigan? Where's he from?
Ralph Duren.
Ralph Duren, yeah.
The world champion caller with just his mouth.
Well, we'll be the Ralph Duren of the Twin Cities.
If we go, we will go back out. You should come with us.
I'll come with you guys. It's not that far. You know, yeah. I thought you were going up to McGregor up by the piece of property.
The only
up
problem
there.
With bringing Stu is we got to keep him quiet.
I'll be quiet.
That's fine.
Except I do that thing, yeah.
He'll be trying to jump all these turkeys, like, yeah. Wearing no clothes.
If you get the damn bird close to you, I'll do what Thane did. I'll run out there and choke it out, baby. I'll just choke Sprawl. It out.
And another problem Stu's got is he does not sit still well. He's a walker.
Hey,
like
I can sit still. If I got I'll be good.
Okay.
For an hour or so, you know, I think then.
That's fine.
Yeah, I can.
An
do that.
Hour? You got to be good for at least three or four.
What are you going to do for 2 or 3 hours in that little box?
You, I don't know.
Talk? Can you talk a little bit? Can you whisper?
Yeah, you can whisper. Oh, yeah, you can whisper.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Not as much as duck. I like duck hunting because you can just have regular conversations. Yeah.
Do you guys read about that lady from Colorado who got stomped by the moose? It's in the Outdoor News.
No, I did not.
Mm-mm.
She's you'll get a kick out of this because she's in her house and there's two moose in her front yard someplace in Colorado. And they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go. They're hollering at them because they have family or friends in the house. They got to go. They got to leave. So she goes outside her home and I don't know how close she got, but she's saying, come on, go, go, go. One of these things, whatever. One of the moose turns around and stomps her.
Oh, they're mean.
And breaks some bones in her body and all that. She's alive and all of that. And I was reading the entire article, and that's bad enough the way it is.
Yes.
They're on her property. Get your butt out of here. So not only is she, I don't know if she's still in the hospital or not, but they at the end of the article says that the authorities were still contemplating citing her for approaching the animals. They want to give her a ticket for approaching the animals on her property. I tell you what, that's... getting stomped, I think, is good. Is bad enough. I mean,
my gosh,
yep.
I've seen those too. On like, you know, you see those viral videos of like two bull moose like fighting in a driveway,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, my goodness, could you imagine? But those things are huge. That had to hurt.
Hey, Mark, we got about a couple of seconds here. Why don't you go through the shout outs, will you, pal?
Yeah, we have a bunch of shout outs. If you want to get on the Four Outdoorsmen, get mentioned on air, go to the Four Outdoorsmen, that's the number 4 Outdoorsmen Facebook page, and comment on our post, and we'll try to read it on air. Sometimes they come in late and I can't get them in, so the earlier the better. But we have a lot of people that got their first turkey, so I'm going to go through a couple of these. Ron Nielsen says, getting ready for next weekend. He's got his blind ready. Chad Daniels, a good friend of ours, says, my first time ever turkey hunting, and I got to share the moment with my fellow hometown hero outdoor staff. Congratulations, Chad. That's a beautiful turkey. Well done. Craig Rudolph Jr., another good friend of ours, says, got my first ever turkey after 10 years of trying and many close calls, 10-inch beard, 7/8-inch spurs. I'll tell you, Craig, that gives me some hope because I've gone 6 years without a turkey. So good for you for sticking
at
it.
It's not over.
It's not over. Our friend Justin Zeiss says, hello from the Zeiss family. I took the kids up to her hunting land to burn off some energy, and Jennifer is able to get some time alone. First time since this all started. Stay healthy, my friends. I'll tell you, my wife went for 7 straight days without stepping outside of the house.
Wow.
So she got out today rollerblading with Nick. So that's
and cool. You're still alive.
I'm still alive. She can handle it. I cannot. I need to get out all the time. Jesse Coken, Koskinimi. Yep, your friend. Said, my son Chase with a gobbler 8-inch beard. Good job, Chase. Corey Bechtold says, full report coming on What's Working Now Facebook page. Corey said, forget turkeys. He's got a bunch of crappies in the boat. Let's see here. Tony Thiesing said, social distance camped with a few of Hometown Heroes Outdoors staffed. Bagged my first bird in about 10 years. It's also my biggest bird as well. Boy, they must have had a great time. Alan Larimore says, also got my first ever turkey while out with my friends from Hometown Heroes Outdoors. I'll tell you, those guys must have really hit them because there's about four guys there that got their first turkey. Tony has a question for Melissa when she comes back on. It's good. A great question because I also have a Winchester shotgun, and I'm curious about that. So good for you. Let's see what else.
How about if I do this one? I got a shout-out to our buddy Wade Ryan, who got his first turkey with a bow a couple of days ago. He got one with a rifle last year, a shotgun last year, and he said, that's too easy. Now we got one with a bow 2 years in a row, I think. So congratulations, Wade Ryan.
Why has he got to brag like that?
I think my buddy Jesse's son had a great week because he got his first turkey there. Or I don't know if it's his first, but Jesse put on his Facebook a couple days ago, them walking around their land, and Chase is picking off porcupines up in the tree. I think they shot like three or four of them.
Oh, funny, funny. Is that enough, Mark? Are we going to wrap it up?
Well, we have a minute or two. Do you want to talk about, thank goodness, Governor Walz is allowing us to do outside things.
But I'll tell you what. Some of the people were complaining about, hey, you can go, I'll go fishing, go hunting, but stay close to home. That's from Governor Walz. But I read something today that it said, we got to fish close to home. The Minnesota executive order specifically says individuals in all outdoor activities, including fishing and hunting, as long as they can do whatever they want, as long as they remain at least 6 feet from anyone other than people who are within the house. Within the household.
We were just smiling at each other because we spent 3 days in a blind. But we're in the same, COVID
family.
Circle.
We're in the same family.
Because we've been in contact.
Yeah, and like I said, these two guys can't get 6 feet apart from each other. They're big human beings. But
we were like
this
sardines.
Is any place. That's the executive order. Any place you want, as long as you're 6 feet apart.
Come and get me.
Yeah.
Brandon's got our back.
Brandon's got our back.
Let's get to the music, pal. Let's get to Melissa Bachman, and she's with Winchester's Deadly Passion. Boy, I tell you what, I've been watching that show on Sportsman's Channel. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Four Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you don't know Power Lodge, you don't know Marine and Power Sports Dealers. Power Lodge in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd has everything you need for the outdoors. ATVs, UTVs, sleds, bikes, golf carts, side-by-sides, and Alumacraft boats with, right now, the red tag sale that can save you up to $2,500. You got a trade-in? It's Power Lodge. You need service? That's Power Lodge. You need storage? Ask Lukey on that one. He stores his boat every year at Power Lodge. Got more questions? Go to powerlodge.com. Hey, this is Drew Mann here from my favorite fishing destination by far, and that's Devil's Lake. We get there as often as we can, not only for the Devil's Lake jumbo perch, the 12-month walleye season with no slot and 10 in possession, but there's a whole lot more. Plenty of hiking trails, great hunting, restaurants, casino resorts, package deals, and there's something literally for everyone who loves the outdoors. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Craving Mexican? Get a $25 gift card for any one of Acapulco's 8 restaurants for only $17. They're selling quick, so get yours today at DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
At Sprint, our priority is keeping our customers, employees, and communities safe. During these uncertain times, we want you to get the great service you expect without leaving the safety of your home. Sprint.com makes shopping easier by offering free next-day shipping and no activation fees on our best new phone deals, like a Samsung Galaxy phone. Lease it for just $0 a month when you switch. And when you shop on Sprint.com, you'll get a $100 prepaid MasterCard, too. For now, Sprint.com is the best way to learn about our plans, buy new phones, and get the services you need. Stay healthy and go to Sprint.com today. Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus, $0 per month after $41.67 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 18-month lease, new line of service, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Offer and coverage not available everywhere. $30 activation fee, taxes, and restrictions apply. $100 prepaid MasterCard. Requires port and online registration. Ships after 45 days. Card terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman, Sam, and Mark Lukey. I'll tell you what, we're going to get right to it right now because
let's do it.
I have a tendency to BS so much, our guests don't even get a chance to talk. Melissa, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, hello, guys. Thanks for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Well, I miss you because every year we get a chance to see you at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic in the Twin Cities. And our show was going to be on Saturday. You were there on Friday and you said, you guys kicked ass. You had so many people. It was wonderful there out at Canterbury Downs. And Saturday, they shut it down because of the coronavirus, so we didn't get a chance to talk. But speaking of that, how was it out there at Outdoor News and Turkey Classic at Canterbury Downs?
It was just an awesome event. You know, it was really too bad that things had to get shut down. Beautiful facility. I look forward to going again next year, and I think they're going to have just an incredible turnout. They had so many booths and just such a nice location. I look forward to seeing everyone there next year.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Melissa, producer Mark here. What was it like when they announced that? I mean, did people understand or were people upset? What was it like for people in attendance and vendors? I mean, was it kind of confusion or what was it like?
Well, I think everyone was kind of just waiting. I know the governor had spoke that afternoon, so I believe it was kind of expected. But I think everyone was kind of keeping their fingers crossed, hoping we could continue it throughout the weekend because there were so many people, and it was just a great deal. And, you know, it's too bad it had to get done shut down early, but, you know, hopefully next year it can even be bigger and we'll get everybody out there.
We're talking with Melissa Bachman. She is the host or hostess of Winchester Deadly Passion on Sportsman's Channel. I think in the Twin Cities it's Sundays at 10:30 in the morning. I've watched a lot of your episodes, but I'm going to give you a little background about Melissa Bachman. She's from Painesville, Minnesota. She's a local girl. Went to, I think, St. Cloud State, I believe, in college, and was going there for TV broadcasting and Spanish. Speaking of that, I got to tell you, Señora Melissa Gran Caradora y es muy bonita. I just said, Melissa is a great hunter and is very pretty.
Well, that's true. Was he right, Melissa?
Have you been working on that Spanish all day?
I have. As a matter of fact, I've had 4 years of Spanish in high school, and I was pretty good at it. And the first time Diana and I went to Mexico, I kind of got cocky, you know, and I ended up on a bus going up in the mountains with some guys with chickens. We went the wrong way, so you got to be careful. But listen, tell us about now. How did you start into this? Winchester Deadly Passion is a very, very popular show, 4 or 5 years in the making. But how did you get to Winchester Deadly Passion?
Well, I was actually a producer for 4 years, and actually even before that, I was looking for a job, couldn't get hired anywhere, so I worked for free as an intern. So my background's in the editing and production side of it. So basically, I learned real quickly, if I offer my services up for free, people will take me up on it. I got my foot in the door. I worked really, really hard and did a lot of work on my own time and ended up creating my own show. And right now, we're in season 9. So it's been going well and lots of work, but it's what I really, really love.
You know, it's funny. I watch a lot of these outdoor shows, and my wife, Diana, gets me sass every once in a while because It's always going to be you or Nicole or Tiffany or Jana from Skullbound, and Diana will say something like, every time you're watching an outdoor show, it's a good-looking lady who's a host. I like the outdoors. It's a lot of fun. But
I love hunting.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, now, you're shut down like everybody else right now. Are you still getting a chance to go out and hunt? Are you doing any productions? Got any shows coming up, new shows coming up right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing a ton of editing here at home since we have been locked down for quite some time. So because I'm an editor and producer, getting a lot of work done. New shows coming out every week. My show airs year-round, so there's always new content coming out. But luckily, I'm from South Dakota now, and we have great turkey hunting, not only right around our house, but right here in the area. So we were even out today. We started yesterday, and we brought my son, Jax. He's a year and a half, so Ben and I went out with him. And there's probably a reason you don't usually see people out hunting with their year and a half old.
Hey,
it
Melissa,
was quite an adventure today.
Producer Mark here again. Did you mention that you produce and edit the show yourself as well?
Yeah, I do. I do all the production. I do have one person who helps me when I get overwhelmed with editing now. But for probably 6 years, I did every aspect of the TV show myself, and now just have a little bit of help here and there. But we absolutely love it. And you know, I love editing as much as I love hunting and every other part of it. That's kind of what's been so much fun, is I get to do all the different things.
Good for you.
I have to give people I work with crap, because I work at Ron Scher Productions, and, you know, we have a talent pool, and then we have the editing, producing pool. And, you know, I got to tell our host that they got to pick up their game a little bit.
I bet it helps being able to do both, so you know when you're on film what's going to look good and what doesn't.
It does help, you know, and I honestly believe that sometimes that's been – the biggest help along the way, is because I know the other ends and I know what I can fix and I know what has to be redone. But in all honesty, the only reason I've been a kind of a one-woman show the whole time just came down to money. I didn't have anybody to fund it or pay for it. So if you want to do it, well, you can do it all on your own, and then you don't have to pay anyone. And that's how I've done it thus far, and it's really worked out well.
Hey, Melissa, we're going to get to the hunting stories in a couple of seconds here, but I got to bring this up. You must work out. Do you work out a lot regularly? I'm not talking about your figure or anything. The guys are giving me some sarcastic looks here. Do you lift weights and work out at home?
No, I do not.
Well, then
I ran college track. I worked out a ton then, and I bet I haven't worked out for 13 years or more. But I'm always in the field. I'm always carrying heavy gear. I just stay in shape from doing the activities that I love. But no. I do not work out
well. The reason I'm asking you that, because you had a video on your Facebook page, I think it was of Jax, right, who's lifting weights. He's lifting.
Oh, yes.
And where did he get that idea? I thought he must have gotten it from you at home.
Yeah, he watches his dad all the time.
There you go.
And, you know, again, I used to work out. And still, you know, if you look at things in the field, when you're carrying heavy gear and you're walking the mountains and you're packing a 60, 70, 80-pound pack and packing your moose out, you're going to get tough naturally. So I think that's been something that, you know, when you're this busy and you're doing it all the time, you're able to kind of keep that lifestyle up and keep everything going.
I've watched a lot of your shows, of course, and I try to DVR as many as you can, but there's only so many hours in the day. And you do 26 episodes a year. You're hunting 200 days a year. That is absolutely amazing. And one of my favorites was one you did. You went mule deer hunting, I think, with your mom in it might have been Nebraska. I don't know, but I thought that was a wonderful show. But when I saw one of your red stag shows in New Zealand, it blew me away. I want to talk a little bit about the one time you went to New Zealand with the two guys from the Field of Streams book, right? Field and Streams book magazine, and you were hunting red stag there. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, we had just a fabulous hunt. I love going over to New Zealand. You have wonderful people, beautiful scenery, and we got to hunt stags, and the people I brought along, I let everybody else do the hunting first, and we were down to the last day and the last afternoon, and I didn't have a stag, and, you know, sometimes that's the way it is. Where we were hunting, it was really, really difficult hunting, and it came right down to the wire, and I ended up getting an absolute monster. I mean, this was a stag that I could have never dreamed of being able to see or have a chance at, and it really did work out well. And sometimes people laugh and say, oh, the TV shows, they wait till the last minute. No, this really was the last minute.
You know, when I was watching that, the two guys from Field and Stream got theirs as well. A good friend of ours, Billy Moles, has been out there. He went out there last year for his first time as well. That is an amazing animal. And I knew you were down to about the last hour or a half an hour before you saw that beautiful animal. And those racks are humongous. Did you bring something home to put on your wall or to hang from your ceiling?
Oh, yes, yes. I have a lot of taxidermy mounts in my home, so that is one of them here.
She's got so many mounts in her home right now that she's run out of wall space, and now she's designed some kind of hanging them from the ceiling thing. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Melissa, that stag you shot that you were just talking about on that one that Strew watched, you said it was a huge stag. Is that bigger than that world record one you got the first time you went out there?
Well, the world record was smaller, but that one was with archery gear. So obviously the numbers are a lot different from that one. This one was actually bigger than that one, but again, it was with a rifle, so the records are much different. But the archery one was, it was pretty cool. I think my record only held for 1 year, but it was pretty neat to have the world record with a bow.
Yeah, it is cool. And on the show, you pulled back on a stag, like I think a day or two previous. I mean, just imagine if you shot that one, but it ran off. It's funny how it works, and then you mm-hmm. shot a world record.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People forget that, you know, you can get pretty upset about how things are going, and sometimes it all works out in the end. So you got to just hold out hope and hope for the best.
Hey, Melissa, I'm just curious. I'm a numbers guy. I'm kind of tight with my money. What does it cost to ship back a skull and a rack from New Zealand? And who pays for that?
Unfortunately, it seems like it costs quite a bit anytime you're shipping any taxidermy.
Yeah.
What I found is you really don't ever know what the total is going to be till it gets there. It seems like everybody who needs to look at it sends you a bill along the way. So, you know, that's just part of the deal. So make sure you set some money aside for that. They pretty sure buy it a first-class seat on a flight home somewhere along the line.
Is Ben as involved in big game hunting as you are? Or is he just a patient and loving husband and let you do all this stuff and bring all this stuff home?
He gets to come along quite often. So
cool.
My husband's actually a game warden. So when he's not working, he tries to take off time. And in some of the bigger hunts, he joins me on. And we have just a wonderful time. We did a moose hunt last year. A couple years ago, we did a brown bear hunt together where he got the biggest brown bear I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to be able to do some of those things together and get away. And luckily, my parents and his parents are great about watching the kids while we're gone.
Well, good for you.
We're very, very lucky.
Melissa, do you feel more pressure being by the book because your husband's a game warden? Does he
No, not one bit.
Did you guys fall in love when he was sighting you?
Yeah. I've worked very, very hard for my job, so I always try to be careful. But, no, it's awesome. A lot of times I'll laugh because people, you know, I'll see the posters up, you know, going shopping with your husband is like hunting with the game warden, you know. I laugh.
That is cute. Hey, you were talking about the bear hunt. Was that the Prince of Wales bear hunt, or was that a different one?
No, this one was actually on the Alaskan Peninsula for brown bear,
okay.
And it was just phenomenal. They have some of the biggest brown bear in the world. When we do Prince of Wales, that's all black bear, and we usually call them in. We've had incredible hunts year after year there as well, but the brown bear on the up in Alaska on the peninsula is truly a trip of a lifetime.
You talked about when I was watching the story about the Prince of Wales bear hunt. I think you said you were waiting like 5 years before you drew a tag because they changed something where mm-hmm. non-residents could not just go out and hunt anymore. You had to draw a tag. You are Melissa Bachman. You are on the television show Winchester Deadly Passion. Can't you pull some strings at all? I'm serious about that.
I'm going to tell you what. Nobody cares.
Is that right?
No. Yeah. I put in just like everybody else. People think that you get all these extra tags. I have never in my life received a tag for having a television show. I did find a service that puts in my tags every year, which is really helpful because you know how it is. Life gets really busy and you miss deadlines. And these guys just take care of booking everything. And then you get surprise tags that you didn't even know you necessarily applied for. So it works out really well.
That's cool. I've never heard of anything
like
that.
Yeah, that sounds like a Shark Tank, man. Somebody smarter than us figured that one out.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, before we get back to hunting, I got to ask you one thing. One of the videos I saw was only like 3 or 4 minutes, and it had to be for charity or something. When you did the wipeout run, it was almost like an amateur ninja. You know what I'm talking about?
American Ninja.
It looked like so much fun. What was that event all about?
Well, it came to Minneapolis, and it's funny because 1 year when I was up hunting on Prince of Wales Island, we ran into horrible weather and couldn't get out, so we had to stay in for almost 2 days. And we watched all these wipeout videos. It was on some TV show. I don't watch that much television. And it looks so cool because, it's on athletics and maneuverability and everything. And so when I was living in Minneapolis, they had this come to town. It was just like a two-day event where they put everything up and you got to go do the run. And I did it, and I filmed the whole thing with a GoPro. And as if it's not hard enough the way it is, now you're doing it one-handed. But I just had so much fun with it. I got home, I edited it that afternoon, put it on, and it really was a really neat thing, and I wish they would bring more events like that around more often.
Hey, try to, if you guys haven't seen that, go to a Melissa Bachman someplace and look for the Wipeout Run. It is really a lot of fun. Go ahead, Mark.
Melissa, was that the one in Stillwater?
I think that is where it was.
Yeah, I actually did that, believe it or not.
Did you really?
I'm 6'4", 300 pounds, and very out of shape, and I had no business doing that, but I did do it, and it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I just wish it had been a little bit less running, because I think it was a 5K. That was quite a bit of running, even for me, but oh, yeah. We had a great time.
Melissa, let's talk about what you have coming up next. You have what's your next show, and what is your next live hunting experience?
Well, the next show coming up will be African Safari to Mozambique that my husband and I went on. That'll be airing next week, and that really was an incredible trip. I've never been to Mozambique before this, and it is the true wild Africa. I mean, you are going so far back, you just pray that nothing could happen to you back there because you are nowhere near help at all. We actually had wild lions roaring within like 3 feet of our heads at night outside of our tent. Wow. They came through and they were chasing hyenas, and I ended up shooting a Cape buffalo, but we also sat in a leopard blind just to watch them and film them, and we were able to film a leopard at like 30 yards during the daylight hours. Just an awesome show, and that'll be coming out next week on Winchester Deadly Passion.
Do you ever pinch yourself and think, okay, a little girl from Painesville, Minnesota is doing what you are doing right now? That is an unbelievable transition, and how blessed you are, but you've earned it. Do you ever pinch yourself and say, wow, how did I get here?
Yeah, you know, I love it. And that's the thing that I think people sometimes forget is there's a lot of things that you give up along the way to get there, but when you truly love what you do, you know, it really is worth it, and you don't mind, you know. I bet for 6-7 years, I was putting in close to 90 to 100 hours a week. I was doing everything. I was barely asleep. I had to miss out on everything. But you do that for something you really love. And, you know, and it was kind of always my goal. I either wanted to be an anesthesiologist or do this. And there's many days that I just love what I'm doing. And every once in a while, I think maybe I should have done the anesthesiologist side. Oh. But as a rule, it's pretty good.
No, you're making a lot of people happy, I'll tell you. So just keep on doing what you're doing. I want to ask you, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole mule hunt with Mom. Did Mom get a mule? Did Mom get a mule deer?
Absolutely. I took my mom to Nebraska, and we hunted mule deer together. We both got beautiful muleys. And then the next year, I actually took my grandma, her mom, out to Colorado. And my grandma, at 79 years old, did a spot-and-stock mule deer hunt and just shot a monster muley. So it's really fun to see, you know, all three generations of us out hunting, enjoying it, and getting beautiful mule deer. It was some really cool episodes, and, you know, I think had a really great message showing people you're never too old to get out there and give it a try.
One last question, all right? You've been doing this for a number of years, been a television show, the Winchester Deadly Passion. Oh, Mark wanted to ask a question about the shotgun, didn't you, Mark?
We have a question from a listener. I'm not sure if you can answer this or not, but Tony, one of our listeners, I posted on our Facebook page if they had any questions for you, and he asked, does Winchester make or are they going to make a slug barrel for the SX-4? Do you know that at all?
I do not know for sure, but they do make the cantilever buck, which is a slug gun that's set up with all of its everything you need, and it's got the cantilever rail so you can mount something right to it, and you don't have to worry about the recoil knocking, you know, if you get something on there that's just a Picatinny rail. You don't have to worry about any of that recoil, but that cantilever buck is an awesome slug gun, and that's what I use.
Awesome. Thank you.
Whatever you said sounded good to me, but I have no idea what the hell you were talking about. No, I'm just kidding you, Melissa. One more question. Okay, you've been doing this a long time. You've had a lot of great successful hunts. Is there one hunt that you haven't done that is on your bucket list?
That I have not done?
That you have not done.
Yes, I would like to go up to Alaska and do brown bear with a bow and call them in. They're probably the most dangerous animal out there, and to call one in and take it with your bow, to me that would be an absolute dream and something I hope to do someday soon.
Yeah. Well, after you do that, you might need an anesthesiologist. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, that's exciting. Melissa Bachman. Thank you very much. Winchester Deadly Passion, Sportsman's Channel. I think she's on at 10:30 here, that's Central Standard Time, and every Sunday, and I try to watch as many as I can. You're a great lady, and thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I sure appreciate it, and hope everyone enjoys and stays safe.
You bet. Take care, Melissa. Boy, I tell you, that's fun.
Thank you. Take care.
You bet. Have fun. That's crazy. You know, we're sitting here in a little studio thinking we're you guys went turkey hunting today half an hour away from home and you got all excited and she's I'm going to Africa in a couple whatever it's going to be. That's absolutely amazing.
That is great.
It's great. Be right back with Clint Mueller. Clint Mueller is going to be our next guest. He's with the president of Community of Minnesota Resorts.
During these uncertain times, two incredible Minnesota organizations, Fishing for Life and Reach for Resources, need our help. So this Thursday, we're going to do things a little different on Bob FM so we can make a difference. Sure, we're still going to play the most iconic hits in country music, but we're also going to share stories of those whose lives have been impacted by Fishing for Life and Reach for Resources while offering you an opportunity to give and to help these organizations continue their outstanding missions. Help us raise awareness and donations during the 2020 Bob FM Radiothon this Thursday from 7 to 7. Thanks in part to Plow World, Azul Staffing, and Hoffman Weber Construction.
The team at Devil's Lake Tourism does all they can to make sure you have a great experience. More importantly, they want you to be safe. Until it's certain that the coronavirus is in check, please stay close to home and take care of your family. When the time is right, all the hunting and fishing opportunities will still be there. Everyone at Devil's Lake Tourism truly thanks you for your support. But for now, stay home and stay informed with devilslakend.com. Thanks, and be safe. Corey King and his crew at Power Lodge would love to show you how they work. Since 1998, Power Lodge has been one of the most successful marine and power sports dealers in the state of Minnesota for a lot of reasons. Great inventory, competitive pricing, experienced and knowledgeable staff, great service. Whether you're looking for an ATV, a snowmobile, a motorcycle, UTV, a Lumacraft boat, Power Lodge stocks, sells, and services them all. Power Lodge is in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd, and check out the Today's Hot Deals tab on their website, powerlodge.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf in Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back, everybody. The Four Outdoorsman Strew Man here. Sam, Mark, and Buddy Brandon. Brandon, say hi to the rest of our crowd here, would you?
Hello, everybody.
Brandon's the guy behind the glass, and I tell you what, without him, we are nobody, and he's fun to be with. He's a pistol man, and don't get him pissed off, because he'll come right at you.
Hey, speaking of Brandon, I love the shirt you're repping, Hope Church.
Hope Church and Blaine.
Plug.
Represent.
Every Thursday.
That's right. Hope for the community. Free food. If you need help, just show up.
With a voice like yours, you must be a lector or something every Sunday, right?
I'll speak on occasion. I'm worship leader, so I do the music.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, right now we don't have live church, so it's a little bit different.
What's your go-to worship song?
Lift Your Head, Weary Sinner by Crowder.
Great.
It's a rootsy jam.
Boy,
boom.
This guy knows his stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you what, welcome.
Felt the Holy Spirit on that one, Brandon.
We got to welcome our guest. Hey, Clint, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on today.
Every day's a gift, my friend. Clint Mueller is the president of Community of Minnesota Resorts, and I believe, now this is the only plug you're going to get, pal, I believe you own a resort now, do you not?
Correct. We own Balsam Beach Resort up on Plantagenet, just southwest of Bemidji, about 5 miles.
All right, so why should I come to your resort as compared to somebody else's?
Excellent fishing, clean grounds, the host is awesome.
And he's humble as well.
We'll have to get a link to that. We'll post it to our listeners on your place, if that's all right. So we'll have you send through that.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, Clint, you sponsor our show for sometime. we'll come up and visit you and do a broadcast from up there. How does that sound?
Yeah, there you go. Come on up.
All right. Hey, Clint, let's face it, man. The resorts are in trouble. I think I was reading someplace that there were over 2,000, maybe 30 years ago, there were over 2,000 resorts in the state of Minnesota. Now there are about 800, and there's a good chance unless they don't change, We may lose a couple hundred more of those resorts in 2020, 2021. What's going on? What do we do to help this game?
Well, I tell you what, that is true. There's about 750 resorts actually in the state of Minnesota, and you know, we got to get people coming up here. But with this stay-at-home, stay-in-place shelter type thing, people are afraid to come up. They don't know if we're open. A lot of resorts don't know if they should be open. There's a lot of gray area, a lot of unknowns.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark was asking me this earlier in the show about, okay, what is the governor says, okay, you can go fishing, hunting, but try to stay home. And that seemed to me, unless you read it, that seemed to me like that was the govern. That was it. That was the rule. And I read in the Outdoor News just yesterday that the Minnesota executive order says individuals in all outdoor activities, including fishing and hunting, can go any place they want in the state of Minnesota as long as they remain at least 6 feet from anyone from other households, which means we can go any place you want.
Correct, yes. And we're reading all that same information. Our group, the CMR, the Congress of Minnesota Resorts, the Community of Minnesota Resorts, sorry about that. We read all that information that's sent out by the state and by the government. We go through all that information with all of our members, and we're coming up with the same thing. There's so many gray areas, it's like, you should go up to the lake. You shouldn't go up to the lake. I mean, there's so many things. We're kind of in a dilemma.
Yeah, Mark. I mean, go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Clint. Sam here. Got a question for you. Speaking of this, are you guys prepared? Have you guys made plans to accommodate social distancing? Kind of change your whole game plan for the summer? Like, do you guys have a plan of attack on what you're gonna do? Obviously, I'm sure you were already clean before, but is there extra steps you guys have to take?
Oh, correct. Every resort that I've talked to, we have a chat line for all of our resorts to talk on. Everybody's talking about sanitizing stations, social distancing signs. We're talking about sneeze guards up when people come in. Some are talking about having people check in via a texting. Everybody's working on their own game plan so that, you know, if people do come up to the resort, they can definitely have this social distancing.
I got a question for you. You know, coming up and staying in a resort and fishing and everything is one thing, but I'm sure that resorts make a lot of their money on the restaurant bar that many of them have. And so how are you going to approach that? Is there any directive on whether you can serve food, or how does that work?
If they have a bar, no, I believe that is shut down. If there is a restaurant, I believe it's like any other restaurant in the state of Minnesota, you are allowed to do takeout only.
Okay. Well, that's a bummer. How are we supposed to have a drink after catching our
Well,
limit?
But now the governor just passed that, you know. You can have a bottle of wine or a six-pack of beer with your food.
There you go. So now you just have to walk it to our cabin.
Well, walk it to your cabin, get in the car and drive it back to your cabin. Just don't crack it open on the way.
I guess that's not so bad.
You guys are going to have to change, whether you like to or not, literally everything that's involved with running a resort, including how do you handle bait. I mean, there's got to be – give us some other ideas. What are the big problems you guys are going to be facing?
Well, you know, the thing here is I think a lot of people are just trying to make sure that their guests are going to be safe if they come up to the resort. You know, basically, our number one priority being a resort owner should be the safety of your guests. So if you cannot run an operation, maintain six-foot distancing, make sure your cabins are clean, sanitized, which, you know, we already follow really strict Minnesota Health Department guidelines on how to clean our cabins. But with this going on, you're going to have to do the extra step. I mean, some are talking about putting bar soaps by every faucet. They're talking about asking guests to bring their own pillows and blankets. You know, just everything there's all kinds of talk going around. Some are talking about going to a 6 day week instead of seven, so they have a whole day to sanitize and clean their cabins. Yeah. So there's a ton of talk going on.
You know, I tell you what, they bring in their own bedding and stuff. I don't think it's a bad idea. It doesn't bother me at all. And but Mark, you got nothing?
My mom, I was gonna
come back
it.
To me.
No, Mark was gonna ask you a question. He forgot. Go ahead, Sam.
My mom does that anywhere we go, or we used to go in a hotel. She'd bring all her own blankets and pillows and everything. Do you mind if I just say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Clint, I was gonna ask. So the 6 feet, how are these resorts gonna do guided fishing? I mean, are they gonna have to buy bigger boats? I mean, what's the plan?
Yeah.
Well, I believe guided fishing has not been okayed yet.
Oh, really?
According to the governor. Mm-hmm. Huh. So I mean, you can come up and rent a boat, and your family can get in the boat and be, you know, closer than 6 feet, but if it's not a family member, I suppose if you got a 14-foot boat, one or like a 17-foot boat, one could be in the front, one could be in the back, maybe. I don't know. He just can't net your fish, right? Because you'll get too close.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Tips, I guess.
I remember my question here. So all of us Twin Cityans are just dying to get up there and fish and enjoy the outdoors and stay in your resorts. However, I know there's probably some pushback from local residents from us coming up there. What's the word on locals? Is it kind of a mixed bag whether they're want us to come up? I'm sure economically it's very important for us too, but are the local folks there okay with us coming up to visit?
You know, I have not heard one negative thing from any locals here in Bemidji or from any other resorts anywhere else. The only negative thing I heard was when the governor on TV one day stated that the people up north did not want people from the cities going up north. Well, I don't believe that. I had a resorter I talked to the other day on the phone that said, "Hi, the local people actually asked, when are your guests coming so they can, you know, stop in and buy gas and buy bait and all this stuff." They're right. Actually excited to have the people coming back up. So I don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it is so important for northern half of the state for us to come up and spend bucks up there, and we really do. And there has been some banter down here, but I believe you're right, you know, and you know that firsthand that I'm sure everyone's going to be welcoming once we get up there.
Yeah, we're all just chomping at the bit to go. Most of us are running like we're going to be open for fishing. We're all cleaning up. The governor just eased the restrictions. He's allowing our cabin cleaners to come in and help clean. So I'm thinking that could be maybe a window opportunity to where, you know, he wants to make sure everything's good to go for us in case he does maybe change his mind on the 4th. But, yeah, everybody up here is getting ready like they always are. I've been bagging leaves, cleaning my yard. I'm going to put docks in as soon as the ice goes off, you know. But we got probably another, I don't know if it'll be off by opener up here.
You know, social distancing is not that difficult to accomplish. I went golfing today in Stillwater, and it was just like everybody was staying away from each other. They were only one person in the clubhouse at a time, and we played a round of golf and didn't bother anybody and stayed within our own group and whatnot. It was not a difficult deal. I can't picture any big problems on a resort either. I mean, just they stay by themselves. They got their own fishing rod. They got their own gear. They got their own gloves. A boat, big deal. I just can't picture why there should be such a concern. Are the people you're up in Bemidji area, correct?
Correct, yes.
Are the people up there as concerned about the coronavirus as everybody down in the Twin Cities?
I'm going to say probably it's 60-40, 60% no, 40% yes.
Okay.
You know, you go uptown, Walmart's packed, Target's packed, Menards is packed. You know, when you're in the store, some people wearing masks, some aren't. You know, if I go uptown, I try to stay my 6 feet away. You know, I feel sorry for the poor checkout people are really getting hammered.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, there's tons of people moving around, you know, and as far as resorts for coming up, I mean, what better place could you go to social distance?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody's in their own cabin. You can stay 6 feet away from everybody the whole week you're here, the whole 2-3 days you're here. You get in the boat, you go by yourself. I mean, if we have any spots or anything happening to where we're having large groups of people get together, you just quit having that function for a while. But other than that, oh, man, it's the perfect place to be.
I tell you what, you were talking about the mask. Sam, tell the story about your son and your mother-in-law, I think it was, or grandma, with the mask in the store when you went shopping. This is cute.
Oh, yeah. So my mother-in-law took my daughter to Costco, and Amelia is 3 years old, and she looked up at grandma and said, "Grandma, how come all these doctors are shopping today?"
Hey, Clint, I'm going to ask you. We're talking with Clint Mueller. He's the president of the Community of Minnesota Resorts. Now, this is all of Minnesota Resorts. Am I correct?
Okay. So the Community of Minnesota Resorts, we have about 125 to 130 members currently.
Well, how
out of the 700 plus members in this, or out of the 700 plus resorts in the state.
I think that's sinful. Why is that?
I don't know. We've done monkey surveys to past members that haven't renewed and current members, and I don't, sometimes it's a money issue. Some people just don't like belong to groups, you know, or to organizations. Times like this, though, is when you need us. I mean, we have a chat line, we have a Facebook group that you can get on there and ask any question, and you have three or four resorters giving you answers or giving their advice, and it's just so helpful during these times to, I mean, just any time to help you solve problems or get through a tough situation.
Apparently, there's about a million people, I think, who fish the opener normally in the state of Minnesota. In the entire year, there's about, I think I read someplace, like it's $2 billion that come in as a result of fishing in the state of Minnesota, and that includes bait and everything else like that as well. All right, give me your final spiel here. Why should we come up to your resort or any resort in northern Minnesota this summer, considering what's going on?
Well, I tell you what. First of all, every resort I know, and hopefully every member we have, the resorts are spotless, clean. We follow strict cleaning guidelines from the Minnesota Health Department. Everybody's going above and beyond. They're planning. They're trying to make sure that if we do have guests from down by the cities come up, that they go home safe. I mean, everybody's going above and beyond what they've ever done before to make sure if we have guests, it's going to be a good time. The fish are going to be biting, and it just, I mean, let's just be serious. Everybody's got to get out of the house here pretty soon, right? Aren't we all going stir crazy?
Yes.
I might have stolen this from your article, but John Gierek, the great angling writer, one time said, the solution to any problem is to go fishing. And the worse the problem, the longer that fishing trip should be. That's, I think, is a great, great line. And hopefully that – you got something else to share?
No, right. I was agreeing.
I hope that's the case. Opening fishing is not too far away. We're reaching a lot of people that hopefully can help you and get up there as well. We're pulling for it because it's big, not only for you, but every other resort owner and, frankly, everybody in the state of Minnesota. So thanks for what you do, Clint, president of the community of Minnesota Resorts. And we're
hey,
pulling.
Guys, can I say one thing?
Sure.
It's Minnesota-resorts.com is our website. Resorters helping resorters, that's what we're about, whether you're a member or not. We want every resort in the state of Minnesota to be successful and make it through this ordeal. Because, I mean, once resorts close down and disappear, go bankrupt or shut down, you're never going to get them back, guaranteed.
Yes, I'm sure. Hey, thanks, friend, and thanks for joining us. And what we're going to do here, probably, maybe even the first week or the second week after the opener, we'll have you back on to see what the report is. What are the numbers as compared to the last couple of years? I think that's very, very important. You can share some information with our listeners, all right?
I'd be more than happy to get back on and chit-chat with you boys some more.
Hey, when you get off the phone, text me the information about your resort again, and Mark will post it on our website, all right?
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, take care, Clint.
Sure, I was going to say the reason I was shaking my head at you is I was talking about that the other day with somebody, like, with all the stuff going on, you know, like people get stressed out or, you know, have anxiety. There's nothing like sitting in the woods.
Exactly.
And sitting on the boat. Like, you could have all the worst problems in the world, and you go out there and you see, like, God's creation, it takes it all away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I got to say one thing, too. It's as terrible as this is, the timing, you know, actually isn't bad. If you're going to shut down the state for a resort, you know, March and April before opener is probably, you know, if this would have happened in the dead of summer,
that would have hurt.
Where it was
bad.
An absolute stay at home in July, I mean, that would kill everybody. So, especially, as terrible as it is, you'd think that as long as people can still go to resorts, they're still at least they have a fighting chance to keep their bookings. And stuff.
Yeah, especially with all these SBA loans getting eat up like in the first hours, you know. These
right,
guys,
right.
I heard Ruth Chris Steakhouse got $20 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it's who knows what they got, but they got a lot. And as a matter of fact, no, they profited by, Mark knows what I'm going to try to say. They profited by $20 million last year, and they got a loan.
Yeah.
And a lot of smaller businesses did not get a loan.
Right.
Well, they gave Ruth Chris, and maybe it is $20 million. It's a lot of money.
The article I said that they disclosed, it was $20 million.
Wow.
It's whoever has the best accountant. That's who gets the most money.
They have 5,000 employees. They're not a small business.
Yeah.
That's my two cents. Sorry, Brandon.
Hey, never couldn't agree
sorry.
More.
Never be sorry.
I have a question for you guys. We've got a couple of minutes here. Mark knows where I live, right in Vadnais Heights. We have some woods around us, not much. There's Vadnais Lakes are nearby, and the deer come, you know, through the woods and eat the bird feed once in a while. We would have deer in our backyard probably 2 to 3 days a week, all the time, coming through all summer long. And we haven't had deer in the last 2 weeks at all. And I'm surprised. I know, why would they all of a sudden just stop? I mean, are they...
They're trying to social distance, Drew.
Are they trying to... Now, that was good. Are they trying to... I mean, is it the birthing process? Are they already... Have they already made it and they're laying low and the Bucks are... But Bucks don't care about the...
Yeah, it's that weird time, you know. They're kind of looking... Yeah, they're pregnant right now. So, I mean, that... We saw a lot of deer yesterday, it could be just what you're in Vadnais Heights. I mean, just could be the area. Is there a lot of construction going on or something?
Oh, not really, but maybe I'm feeding them the wrong stuff. Oh, I can't do that. It's against the rules to feed those.
Well, it's your bird feeder, so it's cool.
There's never a reason why they don't show up. I don't know how deer can hide so well.
Strewman, Sam, and Lukey checking out, folks. Thanks for listening to the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We'll see you next week, hopefully, but you'll hear us next week. In the meantime, Mark's got something to say.
If you're sick, get inside.
There you go.
Book a trip.